Well, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing this morning? With us on this beautiful Lord's Day, we're going to get our service started off this morning. If you've got your Baptist hymnal, it's 136. Are you washed in the blood?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace's hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood.
Good morning, everyone. I want to to Thomas Church and welcome you to the service here, and also those that are watching on Facebook. We appreciate it. And those listening in their car this morning, I want to welcome you, and I hope you've had a blessed week. I've just found out that we might be having a little trouble broadcasting, so just be patient with us, and we should be able to get things fixed shortly. But just want to make a couple announcements this evening. This evening's service will be only broadcast on Facebook from Brian's office. So if you, we won't be having services here in the parking lot, but he will be broadcasting on Facebook Live this evening from his office. So that'll be beginning at 6, correct, Brian? Yes. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to bless our services here this evening. And if you would, let's bow our heads. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before You this morning, Lord, with glad hearts and appreciative hearts that we can be here to worship You, Lord. And we thank You again that You have given us the ability to continue to meet, Lord, and that You've allowed us to adapt, Lord, and that we can still come and hear Brian and preach Your word. And we ask You this morning that You just anoint him, Lord, as he brings Your message, and that You just use him in a mighty way. And I pray, Lord, that You would just calm our hearts and allow us, Lord, to hear what You have for us. Again, we thank You so much for Your many blessings and Your protections, Lord. We know we have many upon our hearts and our minds and brothers and sisters in Christ that are home listening, Lord, and we just ask You to be with them. We ask You to be with those that are on our hearts and minds that are in have health issues, Lord, or or have something going on in their personal life, that you would just give us opportunity to reach out to them in your name, and that you would give us an opportunity just to love on them through you, Lord, and that they would see hope and love and kindness, Lord, broadcast from our efforts, Lord. And we just ask this morning also that you be with all those as we are beginning back with school, Lord, and still a lot of systems still beginning, that you would just be with the teachers, that you would guide and direct them, that you protect them, Lord. We ask you, Lord, just to be with our nation as we just continue to have so many things, Lord, that are going on and things that appear to be troubling. But as I read the devotional this morning, Lord, before coming to church, we just thank you, Lord, that you're in control and that we know that without a shadow of a doubt. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us to keep that peace about us, that you give us opportunities to witness in your name, to be kind, Lord. Help us to reach out to our brothers and sisters, although we cannot meet here physically at this time, Lord, that you would just guide and direct us and help us to reach out to them and bless them, Lord. And again, all those that have special needs, we just ask you, Lord, just to touch them in a special way and only the way that you can. And again, we just thank you most of all, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that he came, Lord, and that he gave his life for all of sin, all sin, Lord. And we just ask you, if there's someone here this morning that's either here at the in the parking lot listening to the service here, or if there's someone, Lord, that's watching on Facebook, Lord, because we ask, Lord, if they come to that realization this morning that they don't know you as their personal Savior, that they would stop and they would remedy that situation by accepting your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid for their sins, Lord. And again, we just ask you to touch this service and bless this service, and we just thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.
Are you walking? Are you talking? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in his light every day and every night? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Would you lend a helping hand to some poor sinner man? Are you walking and talking for my Lord? Would you stop and try to save on your journey to the grave? Are you walking and talking for my Lord? Are you walking? Are you talking? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in his light every day and every night? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? If your heart said testify, would the world hear your reply? Are you walking and talking for my Lord? Would you stand and shout his name or bow your head in shame? Are you walking and talking for my Lord? Are you walking? Are you talking? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in his light every day and every night? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? When the time has come to go, will your road be white as snow? Are you walking and talking for my Lord? Will he take you by the hand and lead you to that promised land? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you walking? Are you talking? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in his light every day and every night? Are you walking and talking for the Lord?
Thank you, Brother Ken and Brother Gary. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Thankful you've made the effort to come out. And if you would, just take your Bibles to turn with me to the epistle, first epistle of John. Just go to Revelation and start turning backwards is all that you have to do. Also, everybody on Facebook, thank you for being here today. Glad to be with you, or thank you for letting us be with you today. And I've got my glass of water ready to go this morning. That's a little bit of Randall Gunner in me. But I pray that you're blessed today. I pray you've had a good week. And isn't it good to feel a little bit of fall in the air? I came out yesterday afternoon and could feel a little bit of coolness, a little bit of Christmas in the air yesterday. And I went inside and told Amy. But if you don't remember anything about today's message, I pray that you'll remember three things. One, nobody loves you like Jesus. Two, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And three, if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. But again, we're thankful that you've come out. And I pray that you've been watching with us on Wednesday nights on What Does the Bible Say About It? As you're turning to 1 John chapter 2, last Wednesday night we were over at Mount Carmel, and we're kindly going to establish that to be the place where it's kindly of a center front. So if you want to come and be a part of that, we'll be doing that at 7 o'clock every Wednesday night at Mount Carmel over in Woodway at Brother Scott Gerald's. And right now we're beginning to talk about the end times. And this Sunday, this Wednesday was about where we're at concerning end times events. And so be there with us on that, and continue to pray for Brother Scott, Brother Tim, and myself as we try to discern and use Scripture. And that's our goal, is to stand upon Scripture. Would somebody go down to my office and look behind my desk on the bookshelf, and there's anointing oil. And grab that anointing oil. You know where I'm talking about, up where that them ball bearings is you give me. He gave me some of the biggest ball bearings I've ever seen in my life. That's up there. But this morning, I just really, the idea that I want to talk to you about this morning, in the midst of everything that's going on, is how to show the love of Jesus Christ in the world that we live in. So if you would, and if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're watching with us by Facebook, I ask you to continue to share. But we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, picking up in verse 3, and we're going to read all the way through verse 11. And it says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps His word in him, truly is the love of God perfected," or that the love of God has been completed. "Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abides in Him," meaning Jesus, "ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And he that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name I come to you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be at your house and to be with your people. But God, I ask you right now, if you would, just give wisdom, discernment, and forgiveness. I pray ultimately, number one, forgive me of my sins and my failures, Heavenly Father, Lord. I'm thankful that your mercy and your grace is new with the rising of the sun. And Lord, as Paul prayed, Lord, I feel as the chief of sinners. But God, this morning, I pray that you take your word through the power of your Spirit, and you enlighten us and give us wisdom and discernment, and let us be better Christians when we leave from here. If there be those that have drifted away, or those that, Heavenly Father, Lord, don't know you, that today may be the day of salvation. But God, I pray your Holy Spirit take your truth today and wrap it in love and wisdom. And God, that we'll receive it. I also pray that we've come here today to give you something, to worship you, to tell you of your worth, to tell you of your glory. And God, let our hearts be open to who you are. Let our minds be receptive to the truth of your word, and let the Holy Spirit fill our bones and our muscles that we can live for you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. That's it. Thank you, brother. Where is Sister Catherine here? Honky horn. All right. Today I want to talk to you about this. We have a choice that we have to make as Americans. And I guess we have to make it as anybody who are Christians. Are we going to demand our personal rights, or are we going to be willing to be a Christian witness? Personal rights, Christian witness. I want to read this passage to you again this morning. I usually don't do this on Sunday mornings, but I want to read it again to you out of the Christian Standard today, because I just want this passage to be clear. And remember, last week we talked about James and John, and you remember they asked that big favor of Christ. They wanted to sit on His right hand and His left hand. You know, basically, they thought they were of great worth. But now, let's see the growth that's come in John's life. He says this, beginning in verse 3. This is how we know that we know Him. This is how we know that we know Jesus. If we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and yet does not keep His commandments, is a liar. His truth is not in them. But whosoever keeps His word, truly in them the love of God is made complete. And this is how we know that we are in Him. Those who say they remain in Him should walk just as He walked. And that's what the term Christian means, that we will be imitators of Christ. Verse 7, dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. Verse 8, yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says that they are the light, but hates their brother or sister, is in darkness until now. The one who loves their brother or sister remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in them. But the one who hates their brother or sister is in darkness and does not know where they are going, because darkness has blinded them. Now, I believe that greater than preaching hellfire and brimstone, which I do my best to preach that, greater than preaching damnation, which is true if we don't accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I believe the thing that drew me to Jesus Christ and what He used to draw me was the love of Jesus Christ. Not just the fact that I knew that He loved me, but He put certain people in my life that through them I experienced the love of Jesus, and I witnessed the love of Jesus in their life that changed them and changed the way that they related or the way they dealt with me. One of the greatest was my mother. You know the story about my mother. She was alongside of my father. She had made a profession of faith. She had went through the mile markers, you might say, as a teenage girl. She taught Sunday school. She led choir. She was beside my father at three different pastorates. She led the music there. She taught Sunday school there. But then when I was 19 years old, we had a tent meeting revival, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And from that moment on, I can tell you that my mother has been a new creation in Christ, and that the love of Jesus has come to be expressed in her life and towards me in a great way. And so, as we say around here, and I believe it, without a shadow of a doubt, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if we'll allow Him today, He'll even do greater things. What verse is that based on? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as He went through His ministry, as He walked, we know, and we've talked about, that He was not always politically correct. He was sometimes very forward and very to the point, but I do believe that where He went, people knew that He was concerned about them and He loved them. Even as we look at the miracles that He did in people's life, it was an expression. Now, one, it was for the glory of the Father, but two, it was an expression of the love that He had for them. And we see that He passed this love to His apostles, especially here in John. Now, when we talk about this is John that wrote the gospel. This is John the Revelator that wrote the book of Revelation and the one that wrote the three epistles. So basically, this John is a composer of five of the New Testament books. But throughout his lesson, as we've studied this and we've read these 8 or 9 verses here, the theme of it is basically love. That those of us who profess to know Christ, we're going to love our brothers and sisters. And if we profess to know Him, but we don't love our brothers and sisters, well, then we don't actually know Him. But throughout the book of 1 John, the issue of love continues to be a central theme. Look there in verses 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. It says, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his actions were evil, and his brother's actions were righteous." Jump down to verse 14. It says, "And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brothers and we love our sisters. Everyone who hates their brothers or sisters is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life living within them. This is how we have come to know love. Jesus laid down His life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters." And then again in John chapter 4, verses 19 through 20, it says, "We love because He first loved us. If anyone say, 'I love God,' and yet hate his brother or sisters, they are liars. For the person who does not love their brother or sister whom they cannot see, whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And we have this commandment from Him," and that Him is Jesus Christ, "that one who loves God must also love their brother and the sister." So let's just stop for a moment and let's consider some important things from the passages that we've read. First off, notice the phrase that John uses there in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 2. He says, "Dear friends, I am not writing you a new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment, which is true in Him." Again, we see the word love all through there. In fact, the word love is used 37 times in the book of John, 1 John, and it's not used any in the first chapter. It's used 12 times in the verses that I've already read to you this morning and looked at. In 17 verses, it's used 12 times. And I want to just make you aware of this, that every time 1 John that I've read this morning and the word love has been used, the root of it has been agape. Sometimes it may have been agapeo, but other times it has been agape. You say, "Brian, why is that important?" I pray that if you come regularly to Thomas Village that you understand that there are 3 different types of love, 4 different types of love in the Greek language. Phileo, different ones. But this word here, agape, is a special type of word. You might have seen the commercial now that talks about agape love. And what it is it is a special love. It's the deepest type of love. The best way to define it is the love of God's throne. What it literally means is this, that you love someone enough that you're willing to be put in a place where it's to your detriment. It may not be terrible. You may not be crucified. You may not ever be beat on. But you're willing to be put aside so the individual that you love can be benefited. Basically, it is love in action, love that serves. When you read over there in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, God was willing to be inconvenienced so much that He loved us, that He was willing to let His Son leave the throne. He allowed His Son to become flesh. He allowed His Son to live here 33 years. He allowed His Son to be mocked, to be spit upon, to be beaten with whips, to have a crown of thorn put upon His head. He was punched and beaten with rods, and ultimately He had nails drove into His hands and feet and staves and spears thrust into His side. You see, Jesus Christ loved us enough. He agaped us enough that He was willing to suffer. He was willing to sacrifice for the benefit of whosoever. And the good thing about whosoever is you can put my name in there, you can put your name in there, you can put Donald Trump's name in there, Joe Biden, anybody's you want to, whosoever. That's why we talk about this love so great. And this is the same love that John is talking about here that we're to have inside of us. A love that's willing to quit focusing on me and focus on others. A love that's willing to say, I'll be put second and put my fellow brother, my fellow sister, my fellow human being before me. If it means that Jesus Christ will be glorified. Notice he says that this is not a new commandment. No, this commandment can go all the way back to the Old Testament that we're to love our brothers and sisters. First, let's look at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45, he says this, "You have heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That's common man right there. We love those that love us. We like those who like us. And if you don't like us, then guess what? We probably ain't going to like you either. That's just natural. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those that bring harm into your life, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. That which Jesus is love, that those who follow Him are to love. Nothing else on the end of that. We're to love our brother. We're to love our sister. We're to love our neighbors. We're to love our fellow human beings. That was the message of Christ. But then also, there's another time. Over in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. The Sadducees and the Pharisees come up to Jesus and they try to catch Him in a way that He couldn't answer a question. I had that happen to me this week. There was a question asked I couldn't answer, and I had to step back and do some rethinking. But they asked Jesus, they said in Matthew 22:36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets." He's saying that on loving God with all of who you are and loving your neighbors to the point that you value them just as much or more than you value yourself, he says all of the Levitical law, everything that Moses received on Mount Sinai, he says that all of it is hanging on those two. You can wrap it all up in those two commandments. And then we can take it all the way back to Mount Sinai when Moses received the law. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. He says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So the idea of loving as people of God, that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, that we're to value them, then has gone back all the way in the Old Testament. It didn't just originate with Jesus. But also notice the phrase, "And we have this commandment from Him." In chapter 4, verse 21, the "Him" here is specifically talking about Jesus Christ. And He is focusing on the very words that the Apostle John heard Him speak. That's what this is, first-hand accounts. This is first-hand testimony. And in John 13, verse 34 through 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Then again in John 15, beginning in verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that someone should lay down their lives for a friend. So as we consider these commandments, to love your neighbor as yourself, or in other words, we are to see others as worthy or as valuable as ourselves. Or if we're going to be like Christ, that means we're to see them as more worth than ourselves. Jesus said this in John chapter 13:35. By this, meaning the love that we display, and I'm going to keep it right here in the family, you might say. The love that we display as brothers and sisters in Christ, that all people will know that you are my followers, that you're my disciples, by the way that you love one another. And then John, the disciple who Jesus loved, the disciple that Jesus laid his head on his chest in the upper room at the Last Supper, the apostle, the only one that we know that was at the cross, at the crucifixion, and the very one that Christ entrusted his mother Mary to look out for. This is the same John that writes this in John 1 John 3:16. This is how we have come to know love. Jesus laid down his life for us. And we should also lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Again, agape. Putting self aside so that the others may be benefited. Again, and all he's doing is echoing what Jesus said. John 15:12-13. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Greater love is no man than this, than to lay down their lives. To which John the Revelator implies that not only are we to love them, but if we do not love in this way, if we don't show this love, then he says in 1 John 2:10, he says that we can become a stumbling block to those around us. The idea of that means to make them falter, to make them fall down, to keep them from following on in the path. Now, none of us want to be a stumbling block, especially to our brothers and sisters. But we really don't want to be a stumbling block to the ones that don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. They've not entered into a relationship with Him. And more I realize that people are dying and going to hell on a daily basis. And it is us. We say, and I know this, I believe all of us are called to tell the gospel to somebody in some way. But even if we can't, the Bible teaches that we are to love in a way that whether we speak the gospel or not, that they're to see the love in our lives of Jesus Christ and we'll want to have a relationship with Him, because how we express and display the love of Jesus through our lives. In fact, John goes on in this 1 John 3:15. He goes on to say that Christians or professing Christians that do not love their brother, that do not love their sister, that are not willing to express their love, he likens them to a murderer. That they kill someone. Everyone who hates their brother or their sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life living in them. And I want to tell you, don't hate the old messenger today. But we also need to recognize the context that John is telling us, that we're to love one another. And if we don't love one another, then we're actually hating one another. But look how he begins this paragraph or this passage there in verses 3-6. He says, this is how we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, the one who says, I have come to know Him, and yet doesn't keep His commandments, is a liar. His truth is not in him, but whosoever keeps His word truly in them, the love of God is made complete. This is how we know that we are in Him. Those who say they remain in Him should walk just as He walks. The great evangelist John here is expressing to us that those of us who profess Christ need to express the love of Jesus in our life. Look there in verse 3. The apostle that walked alongside Jesus, learned from Him personally, saw the way that He ministered, and physically ate with Jesus Christ after the resurrection, is telling us this.
One important thing that will provide certainty about our relationship with life. I know many people that struggle over eternal security. I know the devil uses the fight against them. And I'm going to tell you this. I believe in once saved, always saved. I believe the Bible teaches eternal security. I don't believe He teaches an easy salvation. But what God does in Christ Jesus, He does completely. He does not do it halfway. And He's not going to give you something just to take it away later on down the line. And you can't give it back because He ain't going to give you something that you're going to give back either. But notice what He says here. One way that we can help have a surety about our salvation in our life, have a surety about having Jesus Christ as our Savior, is that we will generally attempt to live out the truth and the instructions that He's taught. He says, if we can keep His commandments. How do we know that we have a relationship? This is not the only way, but it's one way. One way is we have the Spirit living in us. Alive within us. Nobody can move in your house unless you know they're there. And the same is true with the Holy Spirit. But another way, not that we're perfect, but that we generally, we base our life basically and we try to live on a daily basis by following the truth and the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, we find security about our relationship with Him. He goes on in verse 4. He says, in fact, the individual that does not regularly attempt to live their lives within the truth, manners, and teachings of Christ Jesus, they're liars. The truth, God's saving truth, is not inside them. Now, these are not my words. I didn't say this. These are the words of the Bible again. The one of the men who traveled and walked and learned and listened to Jesus. But where did John get this from? Listen to what Jesus tells a group of Pharisees and scribes over in John chapter 8, verses 54 and following. Jesus answered and said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say He is our God. But you have not known Him. I know Him. If I were to say that I do not know Him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know Him and keep His word. So again, these aren't the words of John. Jesus is saying that individuals who don't at least attempt to live by His word, then they're lying. They don't know Him. They don't have a relationship with Him. And so, he goes on. He said, John continues in verse 5, he says, and on the other hand, though, the individual that generally attempts to live out the truth, manners, and teachings of Jesus Christ, they display evidence. Another word is fruit. They produce fruit that the love of God is in them, and that love has produced a completely new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This provides true Christians with confirmation and confidence in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because they hear the Word of God, they love the Word of Christ, and they want to live the Word of Christ to honor Him. And then John wraps it up in verse 6. So the individuals that profess that they know Jesus should be obedient to Jesus and should imitate or walk the way that Jesus walked. Or those that profess and carry the name Christian should do their best to act like and obey Jesus. Now all through the Gospels we read, see, and hear that Jesus taught that if we loved Him, if we were true followers of Him, then we were going to obey His words. Beginning in Matthew chapter 4, but He answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, or they apply it. He indeed bear fruit. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and following. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Luke chapter 8, verse 21. But he answered them, "My mother and my father," basically my family, "are those who hear the word of God and do it." John 8, 31 and following. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed, "If you abide," meaning if your life is established in my word, "you are truly my disciples." John chapter 12, beginning of verse 47. "If anyone hears my word and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him or them on the last day." John 14, 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John 14, 21. "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." John 15, 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide," or your life will be established in my love, "just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So we see 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, he's focusing on abiding by God's rule, the commandments of Christ, walking in the teachings and in the manner of Jesus Christ. We just look that he's building upon it, based upon the teachings of Jesus, where he said that anybody who loves him, anybody who's his child, is going to follow after him. So for many of us, especially for those like me that were raised up in a religious home, we have that religious do's and don'ts checklist. You know, that legalism. If I'm doing this and I don't do that, then I must be a pretty good believer. We do our best to be moral and to follow the basic Ten Commandments. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. Matter of fact, I wish we had more of that in America. We love, cherish, and respect our parents. We buy our children Bibles and we take them to church. We give money to charities and to churches. We pay our bills on time, and when we can't, we contact our debtor to let them know that we can't. We try to be good people. When the cashier gives us too much change, we even give it back to them, even though we'd like to stick it in our pocket. We honor our wedding vows. We're faithful to our spouse. We do our best to tell the truth. Overall, what we try to do is we try to be the salt of the earth type people. Amen? But Jesus said, and notice what John does right here. He's saying, follow the commandments of Christ. Walk in the ways of Christ. Anybody that is a child of Christ will walk in His ways. And immediately he goes into the fact that we are to agape, or we are to love those that are around us. He doesn't say thou shalt this or thou shalt not that. He says love those that are around you. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your friends. Love your neighbors. Love those strangers that are your brothers and sisters, because they're a part of the human race. And what are we doing to show that love? How are we expressing that love? We've got to recognize how important it is to Jesus that above all things that we love those around us in His name, that we show His love by loving. Again, recognize these. Listen to this. John the Apostle walked alongside of Jesus, learned His ways personally, saw Him heal people, ate with Him, took care of His mama. 37 times he mentions love. John, 1 John 2, beginning of verse 10. The one who loves their brother and sister remains in the light, and there is no cause for them to be a stumbling block. But the one who hates their brothers and sisters is in darkness and does not know where they're going, because the darkness has blinded them. Jesus Christ, the one that we declare to be our Lord and Savior, and the basis of the way we live our lives when we say that we are Christians, He said that the second greatest of all commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. To value your neighbor at least as much as you value yourself. And then, think about this. Literally, hours before he was going to be beaten, punched on, mocked, spit upon, nailed to the cross and ultimately die. In the upper room at the Last Supper, we know that he spoke of love at least twice. He said, a new commandment I give to you. This is the way they're going to know you're my people. The way you love others. And then again he said, that was in John 13:34, and then again in John 15:12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. So how or in what ways are we as Christians loving and showing love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our friends, to our co-workers, to our strangers, to strangers, to neighbors of the human race? How are we letting them know that we love them, that we care for them, but most importantly, that Jesus loves them? After a lot of prayer and a lot of study, a lot of thinking this week, I looked at the pandemic and everything that's going on. And again, you know my motto, if you can't take it back to the cross, it ought not to be preached. One of the simplest ways during the COVID-19, corona, and this season of pandemic to show others around, loved ones, friends, and strangers, that we love them and we care for them, to put it simply, is to wear a mask. Huh. Gasp. Oh my. No, he didn't. What? I'm an American. No preacher or no government's going to tell me what I need to do. I'm not telling you what you need to do. Matter of fact, you're going to leave here and you're going to do what you want to do. But I'm telling you, wearing a mask has become one of the most divisive issues in America. If you're a good Democrat, then you're for wearing a mask. If you're a good Republican, then you're anti-wearing a mask. You're not a real American if you let the government muzzle you. If you can't speak louder than the mask, you already been muzzled. No real American would reject wise counsel and leadership. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, and listen to me. Some of you done cut me off, but if you're still listening, I've got the most rambunctious, rebellious spirit of anybody I know. You can ask my wife. I still fight with it. If you tell me I can't lift it, I'll bust a gut to show you I can lift it. If you tell me not to push the button, you're going to have to explain to me why I can't push that button. But I'm going to tell you, the sad thing is that it's divisive in America, but it's become divisive in the church, and it's become divisive between Christians. And we're supposed to be the ones out of everybody that can get along. And the bad thing is, the devil's having a heyday with it. And here's what's even more confusing. Now we're trying to take patriotism and Christianity and put them together by saying if you're a good Christian, you'll do this, or if you're a good American, you'll do this, or whatever. Can I tell you something? I love America. I believe it's the best country on earth, and it's the best one that's ever been. I'm thankful for our military, I'm thankful for our police, I'm thankful for our president, I'm thankful for all of those that stand, our first responders. I agree with this sentiment. I stand for the flag and I kneel for the cross. I am heartbroken over the violence and the division that I see in our country, and I am worried about the future of the United States, and I am thankful for those that have given their life. But much more than that, Like in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, I recognize that I am a pilgrim and a stranger here. And like it says over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, this earth and all that has been made, including America, will one day be consumed by fire. And as Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, between verses 7 through 11, I'm looking for a city not made by human hands, but whose builder and maker is God. But above all, I'm expecting, as I am told over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 through 18, that there's one day soon, I believe, there's going to be a trumpet that sounded, and there's going to be a shout, and then those that are in the grave, they're going to be called up, and then immediately after that, I'm going to be lifted up, and I'm going to be with the one who gave His life for me. You see, above all, and I'm thankful to be an American, but above all, I'm a Christian. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made me a citizen of His kingdom. He has called me to be a worker in His field. And He's commanded me to be a soldier in His army. My duty as all Christians is not first off to be a great American. But my duty as a Christian is first off to faithfully serve and honor my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if I do that right, then one day He'll say to me, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little things, in a few things, but I'm going to place you over many things." And then He's going to say, "Now share in the joys of your master." And let me just tell you this. You can disagree with me if you want to. But if I stand before Jesus one day, and I can hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, son of mine," and I believe without a doubt it can be said that I've been a good American. Amen? Amen? You say, "Now, Brian, why do you want to bring this up?" Again, I hate wearing masks. They fog up my sunglasses. But I want you to hear from Forbes.com, May 25th, 2020, the top 9 reasons that people give for not wearing a mask. Now, we're going to throw out health because that's legitimate. If you have issues breathing, that's legitimate. But listen to the rest of these. The types of masks keep changing. Meaning that one day this one's healthy and the next day it ain't and all that. Well, can I say this based on the stuff I've read? No mask is worse off than any mask. Meaning that whatever mask you're wearing, it's better for those around you. It's fighting back the little whatevers that's there. Listen at this next one. This one made me laugh. It covers up my beauty. Just how pretty do you think you are? That we can't go a season without seeing your prettiness. I mean, man, I'm the prettiest person I know, and I'm willing to do it. No, I'm cutting up. If you see my beard, you'll understand that. It is jagged. I messed up. My wife wasn't at home, and today I look like a hobo. So, but it covers up my beauty. Poor, poor, pitiful you. Listen at this one. I'm immune. I don't get sick. Okay, tell me another one, Pinocchio. Right? Let's have this next one. It makes me uncool. It makes me unmanly. Tomorrow I'll be for 42 years trying to prove that I'm cool and I'm manly. And if I ain't done it yet, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Listen at this next one. I don't have the virus. Praise God you don't have it today. But who knows, unless you're walking around with cotton swab stuffed up your nose all the time, you could have it tomorrow. You don't know. It's discrimination. No, because they're asking everybody to do it. The material will make me sick. Well, pick out your material in Talmadge. He's making some of the best masks I've ever seen. And we'll say, "No, I'm cutting up. We won't sell them to you. We'll give them to you for free. Whatever color you want, whatever material you got." Well, this one, the virus ain't that bad, and matter of fact, I think it's fake. Well, maybe you do. That's fine. But other people don't. They believe it's real. And they're scared. And they think at any moment they could get it. And when you don't have your mask on, it makes them even more scared. And this is probably the biggest one that I hear. Like William Wallace and on Brave. What was that movie he had? You can't take my freedom. They're not going to take away my freedom. Folks, can I tell you what? This ain't about taking away your voting rights. This ain't about them muzzling you. You can protest. You can wear your sign. You can wear a mask. Say, I wear this mask under protest. It ain't about you getting a shot in your arm or anything like that. Matter of fact, it ain't about you, but it's about those around you. It's about them. And I want to tell you this. We never had the freedom to wear what we wanted to work. They always was a dress code. We never could just walk into the schools when we wanted to walk into the schools anymore. You had to check in. You had to follow the way they do it. And again, the Bible says, when possible, and when it's not against His Word, we are to follow the instructions of those above us. But even more importantly than that, today, it's about the other people around us. Do you know that 75%, according to a Pew Research poll, and I can't remember, but I've got it in the thing, that 66 to 75% of people agree with that wearing a mask is the right thing. Wearing the right thing. And I'm going to take it back to the cross. Remember, I ain't forgot. Greater love than no man than this, than to lay down their life or to sacrifice for their friends, than to be uncomfortable. I'll agree. I hate them. It's hotter with them things on. My breath smells bad and it just makes me keep smelling it. This is how we know that we have, John 3:16. I don't think it's chance or accident that we've got John 3:16 and then 1 John 3:16. This is how we have come to know love. Jesus laid down His life for us. We also should lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now we want to isolate that and we want to say that that means our fellow brothers, those that know Jesus Christ, those that don't. But remember what He told about the Good Samaritan? Who is our neighbor? Humanity. What was Jesus' favorite name for Himself? Son of Christianity? No. Son of man. Son of the entire race. Since Monday I've prayed about this. I've struggled over it. Because like I say, I don't like wearing a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. I hate forgetting my mask at the gas station and getting to the door and then having to turn around and go back and get it just because I want to pay for my gas. But for a second, I'm going to ask you to put yourselves in somebody else's shoes, okay? I want you to use your spiritual imagination. I want you to think about something, okay? Let's pretend for a moment that you're an atheist. A Bible-hating, Christianity-bashing, pro-choice liberal. You don't believe in God. You think the Bible's out of date. You think Christians are narrow-minded. You think women should be able to decide to kill the baby if they want to or not. And you believe that whatever anybody wants to do is good for them. And let's say you run into me. And we get into a conversation. I can tell you're kind of keeping your distance. I don't have my mask on, you know. And so finally we talk a little bit. And out of love and with everything in me, I tell them, I say, well, I just want you to know this. I believe that every life from the womb to the nursing home is precious and should be defended. And I believe the Bible's true. And I love you and I'm going to pray for you. But more importantly, Jesus loves you. And we walk away. Now, I've just told that person that all life matters to me, hadn't I? Now, you know what? I want you to guess what life is more important to that pro-choice, atheist, Bible-hating liberal. It ain't my life that's most important to them. It ain't the baby's life that might even be in their womb or in their partner's womb. You know what life's most important to them? Theirs. Theirs. Theirs is the most important life. And I've just told them that every life ought to be protected. You know the first thing they're going to think? Well, you must not care about my life. Because you know a pandemic's going around. And just by wearing that mask, you're protecting my life and the other lives of people around you. Now, is that true or not? But 75% of our society thinks it is. Am I here today to tell you? Because this is what I've tried to do, you know, to WWJD. What would Jesus do? Right? Can I tell you today for a certainty that I know Jesus would wear a mask every time that He was out? Can't tell you that. But I can tell you this. He said, greater love have no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. He lived it out. He said that it's worth me giving up my throne. It's worth me living in this world and putting on dirt. It's worth me being spit on. It's worth me being laughed at. It's worth me being beaten. It's worth me being inconvenienced so that somebody else can be benefited. I read something this week that said, we hear the story about if a loved one of ours was in the road and something was coming to hit them, would we push them out of the way? Yeah, we'd do it. We'd do it. We'd go through a lot. We send people overseas and all that. But right now in America, we have the opportunity to simply show love and respect by putting on a mask when we leave our house. And not even in your car, just when you go inside somewhere. You said, Brian, I think I've took it back to the cross. Again, I'm not telling you Jesus would or He wouldn't wear a mask. But I know He was willing to be inconvenienced so that others might be saved. Who's to say that if we wear a mask, we could influence somebody or not? I'm doing my best and I'm praying and I'm looking. You know, I want us to be together inside. But when we do it, you know what? We're going to ask you to wear a mask. We're going to ask you to keep it on until service is over. Because we think you got the virus? No, but we want those and others that come, we want them to feel safe when they come here. We're going to keep on the radio. We're going to keep on doing that. When we're going to get back into church, I don't know. Maybe the thing will be gone next week. But it's time for us to not make it about ourselves, but make it about Him. Paul said, I'd become all things to all men if by all means I could just win some. Would Paul wear a mask? I can't tell you if he would or if he wouldn't, but he did say, I'll do whatever it takes so that somebody might come to the Lord. Oh, preacher, I know you're going to do what you want to do. But like I said, it's about loving others because He first loved us. And today, I know it's not been a salvation-style message, but like I said, if you can't bring it back to the cross, you don't need to preach it. And you're out there today, and I want you to know that Jesus loved you enough that the Bible says He agape'd you. He was willing to suffer for your benefit. He died on the cross. He took your sins. He did everything so that you could have a relationship with Him, so that you could be a part of His kingdom, so that you could spend eternity with Him. Maybe today you've backslidden. All you've got to do, it's right here, just chapter 1. Just jump back a few verses. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And last thing is this. I'm not telling you what to do. You got to choose for yourself. But I've prayed about it. I've read about it. I've rebelled against it. But I want to do whatever it takes to see people saved. And I believe one of the greatest fields right now is within the church house. So wherever you're at today, wherever decisions you make, if you bear the name Christian, I pray that you're making the decision based on His glory and others' good instead of just personal right. And then if you don't know Jesus or you feel far away from Him today, please get a hold of us. If you'll just pray something simple that's in your heart, Lord, I've broke your rules, but I believe you suffered and died for me. I believe you were inconvenient so I could be saved. And I want to live my life for you. God bless you. I love you. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. And I pray today that the message will be received with the heart that it was preached. And I pray you've been glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's got a different feel today, don't it?